This week, details of Enron's path to bankruptcy continue to filter out as seven congressional committees investigate the company's collapse. At the same time, Anderson Consulting, Enron's accounting firm, took steps to bolster its image by hiring a public relations firm. The Enron scandal raises the question of how watchdogs and outside entities can guarantee that companies don't behave badly. Corporate misdeeds are often exposed when an employee decides to blow the whistle on dirty dealing. Professor C. Fred Alford has spent a lot of time with whistleblowers and written extensively about them. He joins us now on the line from Columbia, Maryland. Professor Alford, what about Sharon Watkins? She's the Enron vice president who sent a memo to the chairman saying that she was nervous that Enron would implode in a wave of accounting scandals. Now, do you consider her a whistleblower?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, since there's such a high risk, people who go to the boss's boss to say something's going on in the company that's not right, they're about as likely to get fired as somebody who goes to the newspapers. And, I mean, she went way to the top. And since she was concerned, I guess, primarily about Enron, but also, I mean, accounting, it represents the organization to the investing public. Seems to me she's a whistleblower, sure.
You attended a lot of support group meetings. You did a lot of private interviews. You read accounts that people had written about their experiences, whistleblowers. What do you think is the thing that binds them together? What's their overriding characteristic?
I think they're very concerned with their moral purity, which is good, right? I mean, I wish we had more people like that. And I think they get angry that they've been cast into an environment in which they feel they're going to be corrupted, covered with mud. Right? One whistleblower said that she came home after work every day and felt like she had to take a shower, that she'd just been so corrupted by the deeds of the organization. And I think that's why they so often act in what seems against their own interests. I mean, most whistleblowers get fired. Most who get fired lose their homes. Most who lose their homes eventually lose their families. It's a tough road.
Yeah, you talk about the consequences in your book, and you say they just seem to go on forever. This humiliation, the stress, the depression. You've already mentioned they lose their homes, they lose their jobs. Sometimes they can never get a job again except flipping burgers.
Yeah.
And 20 years later.
It's very hard. I remember going to the whistleblower support groups, and I thought many of the whistleblowers were talking about events that had happened the year before. Many of them were talking about events that happened 20 years ago. Whistleblowers learn something about the world that's very hard to accept, and that is that people lie. Your friends at work won't support you. They don't call. They don't look at you. It's a tough world out there, and a whistleblower learns some tough truths.
In fact, your book really is, I would say, mostly about what you call the organization, and whatever organization that might be, whatever
right.
entity, whatever business, but it's kind of the whole, in an Orwellian sense, it's the organization.
Yeah.
Is it possible to explain this extraordinary ability that organizations have to induce this conformity where most people are willing to simply check their brains at the door and not think for themselves and turn against the whistleblower?
I don't know what to say, except it starts in kindergarten, right? I mean, isn't there some book about everything we need to know we learned in kindergarten? Well, it starts in kindergarten. If you don't fit in, you're cast out. I mean, everyone hates a tattletale, right? And at the simplest level, the whistleblower is a tattletale. I mean, in a sense, we're much more social and compliant and dependent beings than we ever imagine. And I think American culture doesn't make it very easy to know that, because ours is a culture of individualism and autonomy until the boss tells you to do something.
You found that most whistleblowers said that if they had to do it all over again, they wouldn't.
Well, it's a little more complicated. If they had to do it all over again, they wouldn't do it if they could help themselves, but they probably couldn't help themselves. Whistleblowers, in a sense, they threaten everything, right? I mean, one whistleblower couldn't get a job. Well, lots of whistleblowers can't get jobs. But one put it this way. She said, everywhere I went, they were afraid that I was going to commit the truth.
C. Fred Alford is a professor of government at the University of Maryland and the author of Whistleblowers, Broken Lives and Organizational Power. Thank you, Professor Alford.
Thank you, Lisa.